Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Ashley Docking. This is Chris. We're glad that you guys could join us.
Always a pleasure, Ashley. Let's do this thing.
Channeling a little bit of Gabe Morenci.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And a little bit of the friction that Gabe and I usually possess, because he like actually wants me to be his best friend, but he pretends
like
he doesn't.
I'm surprised you're not on Game Time more.
Let's talk about that, actually. Forget fantasy sports. Gabe, what's going on? You won't have me on his show.
No.
But we have a busy day today. Less of Chris and I, more of our wonderful guests, which is always a good thing. Jake Seeley joins us first, followed by Lisa Ann. Then we're going to have Michael Beller from Sports Illustrated. So it's going to be a jam-packed show, and we're not going to waste any time. We're going to bring Jake Seeley in right now to talk about his Week 13 rankings. Happy belated birthday, Jake. How's it going? Ooh.
I'm doing good. I'm glad I got a better intro than Chris. Yeah, here's Chris.
We're having a little bit of like co-host inviting off camera, but I'm
just
bringing
trying to make enemies
set.
Here in the office. So
maybe I'll send the cupcakes to Chris and not you.
No.
Yes, you should.
That's so mean.
Birthday week, Jake. Yeah, you should still have a party hat on, buddy. Let's get to your rankings. Of course, they can be found on rotoexperts.com, sleepers, busts.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everybody that Jake is always updating these rankings. So look at them before kickoff, leading up to kickoff.
Yeah, keep checking.
Because things have changed. We'll get to another guy who's already changed for you this morning. Let's talk about your quarterbacks, though. 1 through 10 up at the top. There's really no surprise. Drew Brees has been fantastic all season long. He's right there at number one. You got Aaron Rodgers, Luck, Brady, Roethlisberger. Colin Kaepernick, yes. He keeps moving up those rankings, Jake. We're not going to talk about him. Let's talk about Stafford. In one league, I own Stafford and Bortles, and I've mixed them up all year long. I finally cut ties with Bortles. I'm rolling Stafford out. That's the right decision, right, Jake?
It's absolutely the right decision. I know people are going to be a little reluctant to use Stafford. Look, he hasn't topped 18 points since week 6, but the Saints are on tap, and that's really all that matters. If you look at what they're doing at home, running the second most plays in the league, they have actually allowed the 7th most to opposing teams while at home plays per game, which that's really what boosts the value here. If you look at what Matthew Stafford's done this year, he kind of, similar to what I said last week when I said that the Giants play down to their competition and we saw what happened against the Browns, it's the reverse for Stafford. He plays up when the other offense is aggressive, especially the quarterback. He has great games against Andrew Luck, another great one against Aaron Rodgers. He had a pretty darn on good game against Carson Wentz, which was Carson Wentz is one of his better games this season. So if the other team's aggressive, the other team's passing a lot and running a lot of plays, that's where Matthew Stafford kind of steps up his game and they're going to be passing more. So that's why I think he's locked into a top 10 this week.
I know that Breeze is number one for you and he's at home, of course. I get it. And daily, though, would you play him or would you just save a few dollars and play Stafford?
I actually would go completely different, and I wrote down the numbers here for it. I'm glad you brought that up, because Ben Roethlisberger is somebody I know if we're going to be able to talk about, but talk about a home road split. Everybody wants to talk about Breeze all the time. I'm actually going off Breeze. I love him. I used him last week, and I think a lot more people are going to be on him this week because of that. But the home road splits, I just wrote this out. Big Ben, last 3 years, 30.8 fantasy points per game at home, 346 passing yards, an average of 2.9 touchdowns. On the road, it's 17.7, 272, and 1.1.
Wow.
This guy's a monster at home.
Yeah,
wow.
Fair. Big Ben.
Comfort of his own home. We like that a lot. Someone who's been a little bit comfortable as of late on the field is Jordan Howard in an offense where, let's be honest, there's really not much to talk about. Yeah. When you're talking about Matt Barkley as like the star of that offense, things are generally a problem. So as we get to your running back rankings, 1 to 10, that's where we find Jordan Howard on this list. After the usual suspects, he slots in at top 5, especially against San Francisco. Now, is this matchup dependent or someone who's had over 500 yards in his last 4 games is going to be appealing to you the rest of the season, Jake?
That's exactly part of it. I even had that in my column this week, over 500 yards and a touchdown in his last 4 games. His worst game is 99 yards against the Giants, but the Giants' run defense has been one of the best over the last month plus. If you look at the 49ers, worst in the league against the run. On top of that, I was talking about plays per game with the Saints. Well, guess what? The 49ers allow more than anybody, 70 plays per game allowed to the opponent. So even if Matt Barkley isn't what we saw last week, and even if Matt Barkley is not throwing 50 times and it's only 35 to 40, Jordan Howard is going to get his because he got his last week when Barkley threw over 50 times. So this is a great matchup. That's part of it. And the fact of how he's been playing on top of it since he's taken back over that lead role, he's not only a top 10 running back, but this matchup, this is what we're going to see going forward for Jordan Howard, is that he's a top 10 running back with the matchups there. He's inside the top 5 conversation.
Just so encouraging to see Barkley throw the ball. We said this all week, but throw the
54.
Ball 54 times, and still Howard was top 10 in touches among running backs.
Yes.
It's really, really encouraging. He's probably as high as he's he's been in your rankings. Let's bring up 21 to 30. Kenneth Dixon probably as high as he's been in your rankings as well. And his percentage of offensive snaps the last five games have gone 6%, 28, 31, 38, 44. Can we now start to trust this guy? Is just playing him? Maybe you have two solid RBs, but maybe you can play him as a flex option this week.
That's where I'm looking at for it. And if I'm looking at this backfield, and this matchup's not the best, but if I'm looking at the backfield, I'm looking for the upside, as you mentioned, in your flex position. The turns started to happen last week. Yeah, the snaps were similar, but the touches, or actually the snaps were higher, the touches were similar. So the snap count finally started to work in Kenneth Dixon's favor. And I think they're seeing the same thing we do. If you watch any of the games, you see Kenneth Dixon is the better player. He's more explosive. He has a better all-around talent, not taking much away from Terrence West and what he's done so far this year. But if you're looking for the higher ceiling, it's Kenneth Dixon. That's really all that matters. So when you get in this kind of situation with a lot of these backfields now that are split carries between two running backs, you want to go for the one for the upside. Added to that, to go back to what I said, the snaps are finally starting to work for Dixon. So I'm looking at that as, if I'm looking for a punt play, I probably would say, you know, maybe Terrence West gets the touchdown. But if I'm looking for pure talent, it is going to be Kenneth Dixon.
Speaking of punting, I mean, Sammy Watkins is someone that you've just wanted to kick sometimes if you're an owner, because this guy came back.
That might hurt him, though. If I do.
Yeah. He might have to force him into retirement if you kicked him.
I don't think it would be something that serious that would hurt him. You could just, like, flick him in the back of the ear. He'd be out for the rest of the season.
But
we don't know what's going on with this guy. He was 3 for 3, 80 yards upon his return for the first time since week two. Looked great. Everyone's saying there's no setbacks. Now, did not practice on Wednesday. Okay, sure, maybe it's just a maintenance day. Yeah. But now, extremely, extremely limited on Thursday in practice. And his offensive coordinator, let me find it here, Anthony Lynn, said, last I heard, he has a broken bone in his foot, as an update.
What?
Could you be, like, less decisive about what's going on with this guy? I know Sammy Watkins is someone that you've kind of moved around in your rankings. What do you do with him if you have him this week?
I think this is one of those situations where you're looking boom or bust. If you have a reliable option as your third wide receiver, a very good option, like I'd say somebody even in like a Jameson Crowder range. I love Jameson Crowder. He's got a very tough matchup, one of the worst this week, because he's going to see Tyrann Mathieu a lot in that game. I would still go Jameson Crowder. I don't even care about the matchup. I'm looking at Watkins as now he's a pure home run play. He's very efficient on a per target basis, has been last year, almost 2 fantasy points per target. The Oakland Raiders allow the 9th highest to wide receivers of fantasy points per target. If you look at for last week for the comparison and what they let Ted Ginn just do. So I'm looking at the situation, look at Watkins, and for what you're looking at here, if you're looking to hit a home run and what Watkins can do just on 5 targets alone, last week he was 3 of 3, he could come out with 80 yards and a touchdown, but you have to know it's very likely you end up with a 0. Look at the Gronkowski situation a few weeks ago. I'm not talking about last week. I'm talking about a few weeks ago where it was, oh, you just got to play him if he's healthy. And I don't think that's the same situation with Watkins.
Well, because we never know if he's healthy. And even when he's healthy, we've learned that his pain tolerance is on the lower end of the scale.
Would you draft him next year? I know, like, a lot can change in the offseason, but and obviously if you can get him later rounds, but would you even bother with him next year?
I didn't bother with him this year for the same reason I won't next year. He would have to fall into the wide receiver 3 range because, yes, he has wide receiver 1 upside, but similar to Gronkowski, I'm never taking Gronkowski because it's how much you lose where you take him that you're buying all of the risk. If you give me the risk cost baked in, then sure, but not where you have to buy these guys at.
We'll talk about some Gronk replacements a little bit later because, you know, we didn't talk news off the top, but yeah, he's out several weeks. May not see him again this season. Maybe Super Bowl, maybe AFC title game if the Pats get that far. Let's dig deeper. Wide receivers, you know, 31 to 40. There's some names on here. Jake, I mean, Allen Robinson right there at 35. You got Quincy Enunwa ahead of him. I was talking to Pat this morning about some of the wide receivers that did good last week and how highly owned they were in a Thursday contest. Moving on Fantasy Aces, Marquise Wilson was there. He touched on Tyreek Hill. Malcolm Mitchell was heavily owned. What do you do with Allen Robinson? I mean, you can't feel comfortable starting this guy. I'm in a situation where I need a win this week and I want to start Marquise Wilson over him.
And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's one of those situations, though, where you have to understand the risk that you're associating when taking somebody like Marquise Wilson for the fact you're also doing it with Matt Barkley. It's really kind of how you make your decision, who you're facing. You know, I know everybody's going to start overthinking, but at the same time, understand that if you just need solid points, I hate to use Allen Robinson at this point. He's going against Denver. The fact is you're benching Blake Bortles. You're benching Allen Robinson if you can. Only 2 quarterbacks have thrown for more than 1 touchdown against Denver. Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees. Hate to tell you this, Blake Bortles is not Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees. And Allen Robinson for the matchups we talk about all year long with these corners that Aqib Talib and Chris Harris and how much they shut down everybody. if you just need a few points, he's probably still going to get you 3 or 4. Talking about standard, maybe he can get you 5, 6, 7 in PPR. But if you have somebody you need the more upside, I don't have a problem with him. Yeah, somebody like Quincy Enunwa, who had 3 of his last 5 games have been double-digit points. 4 of those were with Fitzpatrick. So he had the 1 bad game, which wasn't even with Fitzpatrick at quarterback. I'm starting Enunwa over Allen Robinson, and that's the point we've come to.
Yeah. And he didn't do anything in 2.
That's the state of our world right now.
He didn't do anything in 2 decent matchups the past couple weeks. So
yeah, and then things just get worse. You say Denver, then he has the Vikings, then he goes Houston, Tennessee to end of the season.
And Allen Hurns is out. I mean, that's just worse. I mean, that is just focus on Robinson. All right,
Jake, thank you so much. As always, we always love hearing your rankings and your take on things, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, Chris. And thanks, Ashley.
Bye.
Happy birthday week.
Always the consummate gentleman, Jake Seeley is. Talking about Enunwa, 75% of snaps or more in his last 4 games. So he's been a viable option.
And it's a good matchup.
All right, we like it.
Make some good points.
Talking about matchups, Lisa Ann, author of The Life, no matter what her matchup has been in the Fantasy Cup, she has gone above and beyond, winning the league so far. We're going to talk to her about her team and how she's overcome some severe injuries to get to this point. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. A little bit earlier in the season, we were talking about the Fantasy Cup, where a lot of members of our family here at Fantasy Sports Network and just people that are friends of the shows, the Fantasy Sports Network, are doing a league playing against each other, and the winner gets some money to donate to charity. And in the lead of the Fantasy Cup, Lisa Ann, the author of The Life, and she joins us now for maybe a little bit of humble bragging, but more to talk about the strategy that's got her here to this point.
Hi, but Lisa. Warranted, Lisa, you know your team. You have Dez Bryant. I see you wearing the jersey. You're off to a good start already this week.
Off to a good start. I can sleep well till Sunday. It makes me really happy when my week starts out this way. You know, I would be 9-3, but I lost by 0.40 last week. And you know, when you're in first place, it's very different. When you're in 5th, 6th place, even last place, these moments don't matter. You don't need to win everything. But when you're in first place, you don't want to have the same first place record as Glenn Lowry in the West Division, who's also now 8-4 alongside me. It's very upsetting.
Well, Gabe Morenci is, you know, Gabe, obviously, he's in this league. He was pretty bummed yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, Lisa's in first, but I beat her twice. I don't know how. It's like, thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, he beat me by 0.40, so he doesn't have to take too much glory in that.
Yeah, that's not, it's a win, but it's hardly one.
Hey, a win is a win is a win, though, when you're not in first place, talking about trying to climb the rankings. You can take it any way you can. Yeah. And you talk about Dez Bryant not disappointing Lisa. Jason Witten was awesome for me last night.
Yeah, Jason Witten did nothing for her. Let's bring up your team. We have your roster here. You got some decisions to make, of course. You got Brady, you got Cam on your bench, so you got 2 reliable quarterbacks. DeMarco Murray also on your bench, but James White, Jalen Richard in there. You got Dez. You got a touchdown. Michael Thomas, pretty good. Cameron Brate, Jamison Crowder. You got the Eagles defense, Vinatieri. So you got 2 top options, you know, top 10 options at kicker and defense. But when we go to your bench, there's a couple guys in there. Of course, DeMarco Murray has carried you this season, really struggling. But what about if TJ Yeldon doesn't play? Do you think that maybe you'll play Denard Robinson? He's been a sneaky pickup for you. He could maybe turn some value for you this weekend.
I actually picked them both up yesterday, thinking I have just going to go on the waiver and pick them both up just in case I decide to go with that option. Yeah, it's been nice riding with DeMarco Murray all season. Having him on his bye week is pretty traumatic. Cam was the first quarterback that I drafted, but then I also reached for Tom Brady, and I played a lot more competitively this year, whereas I looked at it like, not as much I need them both, but I don't want somebody else to have them. Knowing you have Brady on your team is pretty much so solid. And I really did expect at least 7 rushing touchdowns from Cam Newton this year. We've seen him be not as mobile, and that's kind of hurt me a bit. So I haven't used Cam as much since Brady's been back.
There's been a few instances that have hurt you a bit. I believe Amir Abdullah was on your team. He went down. Eric Decker was on your team. He went down. And then most recently, Rob Gronkowski. That's a huge loss for you. What have some of the strategies you've employed to kind of weather those multiple storms that you faced?
First of all, it's like a breakup. You got to get over it. Just rip the Band-Aid and move on. You got to realize that dwelling over it is going to get you nowhere. You need to go to the waiver wire and you need to see what you can do to patch it up. You're not going to replace Rob Gronkowski, but Gronkowski had been a disappointment this year. The first week that he was back, he came back too early and got all of us owners a donut. It's been stressful to see when he is playing because you have those, you know, the theorists in the industry that will say, oh, you got to play your studs. Well, if your stud's going to turn out to be a dud because he's just going out there to see if he can play, then you're in a quandary and you're almost better off just mixing and matching and not being attached to players and just looking at matchups.
Well, you got two solid options in tight end. I'm assuming you just picked up Vernon Davis, looking like no Jordan Reed. You got Cameron Brate in there. But how impressed have you been with Michael Thomas and Jameson Crowder? These guys are just putting in work every single week.
I've been pretty impressed, and they were, you know, Michael Thomas was a late round pickup in the draft, whereas Jameson Crowder was just a waiver wire pickup mid-season, seeing him really grow. And also, we have this thing with the SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. There's a show running with MJD. It's Maurice Jones-Drew. And whatever guests MJD has on, he blesses them with this fantasy karma. So I always go out and pick them up the week that they're on his show. And that was when I picked up Jameson Crowder.
Okay, I want to know quickly, because you tweet a lot about, I believe it's people who ruined your weekend or your bench all-stars. How do you phrase it?
Hashtag bench MVP.
Bench MVP.
And those are the players that, you know, during the Sunday games, you're watching them rack up points on your bench, and it's just gut-wrenching that you made that poor ownership decision, or it was just luck of the draw that, you know, the main player got injured and they're jumping in this role. So instead of fretting it on Mondays, we allow the listeners of the show to tweet them, and it's pretty funny because, you know, it lets everyone be okay with their mistakes. This is all supposed to be fun. Fantasy football is supposed to be a hobby, and with that said, mistakes are going to be made.
And just quickly, we got to get out of here, Lisa, but if you do end up winning the league, can you just quickly tell us the name of the charity that you're going to be donating the prize to?
I'm very excited. I do well in my charity leagues. I won one last year, and I'm going to win mine both this year. This charity is going to go to iCare Pet Rescue, which is a pet rescue in Orange County that my two best friends volunteer for. They walk the dogs on the weekend, they foster dogs and help them get trained so that they can find them nice homes. And this has been a pet project of them as a couple for years. And I love to see what they're doing with it. I have no pets myself. One day I will, but mine's for All About iCare Pet Rescue.
I love that because my dog has one eye and he almost just lost his eye last month. And we, able to save it, so good stuff.
Thanks, Lisa, so much. We'll talk to you again soon, and good luck this week. You better beat Keith.
I'll definitely beat Keith. Not a problem. It's a laydown. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Right,
see you later.
Take care, Lisa.
All right. Coming on next, we got Michael Beller from Sports Illustrated. We're talking about replacements for Gronk. Lisa Ann said, "Don't get attached," but we're going to find out who you should attach yourself to on the waiver wire. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we were just talking about a little bit earlier with our last guest, Lisa Ann, Rob Gronkowski is out for what seems like the remainder of the 2016 season. You mentioned he might come back for the finals. He might come back for the Super Bowl, depending on how his surgery goes. He's herniated a disc in his back for the third time. It's not a not serious injury. They're talking about him coming back like it's no problem, but he's dealt with this.
Extremely concerning.
Yeah, 2009, he had surgery while he was at the University of Arizona. 2013, in his fourth year with the Patriots, he also had back surgery, and now he's in for it again after a big hit by Earl Thomas on November 13 gave him a punctured lung. He came back 2 weeks later and then a big hit in the game against the Jets, and he was in severe pain and reports that it was his back as well as his legs, and that led to the surgery now. And that means, Chris, that it's leading you to the waiver wire because you can't do any more trades.
I can't imagine too many people having a backup tight end with Gronk, but I also can see where some people may have played safe with him because of the fact that if you drafted him early, you needed somebody else for the first couple weeks of the season because he was in and out of the lineup. He was hurt, and now you're in the same situation where, you know, in the past couple weeks he really hasn't played and hadn't played 100% last week, so now you need to go to the waiver wire. Yeah, I mean, C.J. Fedorowicz, to me, is the obvious choice. We've been talking to him a lot, actually, over the past few weeks. you know, Brock Osweiler is just a guy who's really struggled. But, you know, Michael Beller is somebody that from Sports Illustrated who recently wrote an article talking about Gronk replacements. And one of the guys he listed was CJ Fedorowicz. So let's bring in Michael right now and let's talk about, you know, some tight end replacements. Michael, welcome to FST. How's it going?
Hey, guys, going well. Sorry, having some Skype issues, but happy to at least be able to join you by phone here.
Hey, that's okay, as long as we can hear you. So is CJ Fedorowicz the one guy who is at the top tight end ranking replacement for Gronk for you?
Yeah, I think he is. You know, I have Lance Kendricks pretty much right there with him, which might be a little bit of a minority opinion, but I like Fedorowicz too. You know, he's turned into a pretty reliable guy, a pretty key guy for this Houston offense. Since taking over as the primary tight end there in week four, played eight games. He's got at least seven targets in five of those eight games. So when we're talking about tight ends that are this far down the totem pole, I think, you know, usage and opportunity is more than half the battle. And we know that Fedorowicz is getting that on a pretty regular basis. And obviously there's no perfect replacement for Rob Gronkowski, but the first place you want to start is someone who you know at least is going to get, you know, six, seven, or eight looks in pretty much every single game. Fedorowicz is probably the guy who most regularly satisfies that requirement.
Do you think not only is he a great tight end replacement, do you think he's the number one option in Houston? It's crazy to actually hear those words come out of my mouth, but in the last 4 weeks, he's got 26 fewer yards than Hopkins and two fewer catches. I mean, he seems to be the guy that Brock can just check down to and make the throws to.
Yeah, I guess the shorter a ball has to travel is probably good for Brock Osweiler, right? There's fewer things that can go wrong on a pass that goes, you know, 7 or 8 yards rather than one that goes 17 or 18. So I do think that he's right there. And again, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but when you're talking about guys like CJ Fedorowicz and Lance Kendricks, you know, the opportunity is the largest thing that you should be looking for. And we know it's going to be there for Fedorowicz.
I guess, is that the same school of thought then when you think of someone like Lance Kendricks? Because Austin's there, Britt's there in LA, but you have Jared Goff, who's the starting quarterback now, and you know that he's going to need at least some safety checkdowns once in a while.
Having some issues throwing down.
Having a couple of issues. So is that where you find the value in Lance Kendricks?
Yeah, and another guy who really has sort of stepped up here in the last, you know, maybe 6 weeks or so, in his last six games, 45 targets. So 7.5 per game on the dot. You go for a season long, that's right on par with what Kyle Rudolph has done. That's more than what we've seen season long from Delanie Walker and Jimmy Graham. So Lance Kendricks is another guy who is getting those opportunities. He came out of Wisconsin, you know, 5-6 years ago as someone who is maybe going to be an impact tight end. Obviously, it hasn't happened for him, but the pedigree is still there, and now he's really getting an opportunity in the Rams offense this season to, you know, make some plays down the field and make some plays in the red zone, and he's done pretty well. 41 grabs, 420 yards, a couple of touchdowns, with pretty much all that damage, 258 yards in both of the scores coming in the last 6 weeks. So another guy who we're seeing his role grow as the season goes on. We're seeing Jared Goff lean on him even a little bit more than Case Keenum was before Keenum handed the reins over to the rookie. So Kendricks is another one. Personally, for me, this is really 1 and 1A with he and C.J. Fedorowicz.
Let's dig a little bit deeper, Michael. We only got about 30 seconds or so, but, you know, with, you know, the injury to Jordan Reed, not looking like he's going to play. Can Vernon Davis be something? I mean, Patrick Peterson, maybe he's on Deshaun. Maybe he got the honey badger on Crowder. Maybe Vernon Davis can be an option for somebody in deeper leagues. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I do think that Davis is the best option this week. If you want to play the stream game, I think Davis is a better play than Kendricks or Fedorowicz with Jordan Reed out. The great thing about Davis, too, is that ever since he's got an opportunity for Washington, he has carved out a role in the offense with Reed back on the field. So maybe you don't lose everything if and when Reed is able to return from his shoulder injury. Still, even at 32 years old, a very fast guy, one of the fastest tight ends in the league. Speaking of Vernon Davis, these last 4 weeks, 13 catches, 227 yards, and a touchdown with Reed on the field. So with Reed out, I do think he's the best play here in week 13. You just have to be a little bit concerned about his long-term prospects if Reed is able to come
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. They're valuable on the field together. We'll see you later, Michael. We got to get out of here, unfortunately. Thank you for joining us on FST.